I'm Zach Ziegler, and you're listening to Oregon Rainmakers from KLCC. On this edition, I talk with Max Vanderweist of Hot Tees, a custom screen printer in Eugene. If you spend much time in large groups of people, chances are you'll see a custom printed t-shirt. Maybe it's for a race, a youth sports team, a local band, or a company. The most recent U.S. Census data shows screen printing's total sales nationwide at almost $12 billion a year, with more than $3 billion in payroll. But the industry has shrunk as it deals with offshoring and computer printing. So what advantages can a screen printer find? How about quick delivery and convenience? That's an advantage Eugene's Hot Tees has found. The company will do standard custom prints from its warehouse. However, it will also head to events like races or high school sports tournaments, where it can customize shirts with last names, jersey numbers, and plenty more. I headed to Hot Tees facility in West Eugene to talk with Operations Director Max Vanderweist about how the company does its printing, both from its shop and on the road.
Primarily, we're an event-based business. We go on-site to tournaments and sporting events all over Oregon and Washington. And we make custom shirts there. So we'll bring a bunch of blank apparel. What you can see in front of you is our warehouse where there's all of our featured items. These are things that we bring to customize our sales. So we have fully stocked trailers that will bring some pops of color basically from this selection to specific events. When we're on site at events, customizing apparel, we bring an event logo for the day, along with maybe like positions for the sleeve, names we can do on the back, numbers. Really, we're all about the full customization experience in the moment, creating it right there in front of the customer.
Yeah, cool, cool.
We'll walk through here. We've got five bays here that represent the five sales that could go out at any time. Every weekend of the year, we're going to 1 to 5 events. Sometimes maybe 6 if we're pushing it and trying to pull in every resource we have. You can see here we've got our logo sets. So for every category or sport that we do, we make a set of logos. This would be the position, say for baseball, you might have like infielder, outfielder. And it also might be some funny sayings. Or other things that we think might be popular. And we keep these all stored year round and then fill the sets and take them out when we need to.
Yeah, kind of have those components that you might need ready to go. You know, like I'm looking here and I see like, oh, lacrosse. Yeah, you're going to have, you know, that standard lacrosse logo of two sticks crossed or something like that in those tubs.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly it. We really focus on the organization. And I think that's one of the unique things about us, because we've been so event focused as a printing company. We've had to come up with solutions to really keep things organized for all the different types of events that we go to.
Yeah, so I'm curious with this stuff. How do you go about kind of getting those pre-established things? You know, I was a basketball player through high school, and so I can tell you that stuff for basketball. My daughter plays hockey. I can tell you that stuff for hockey, but boy, I could not tell you that stuff for, you know, looking around here and I see, you know, baseball, robotics, BMX, any of those, I'd be clueless. Do you go to the people beforehand?
Yeah, that's the fun challenge of it. My background is in graphic design. So for the last 20 years, I've been tackling that problem. You come into a business or somebody comes to you from a sports team or something, and you got to learn about it. It involves asking questions to the hosts of these events. It also involves a lot of research. There's also some general things we'll do, you know, Pacific Northwest themed stuff for most of our sales, as well as all the positions.
Currently, lots of trees and Sasquatches, you know.
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's a huge part of our branding. I mean, that's the Pacific Northwest. Yeah, the other unique thing here is that we do is names on site. We have a unique process that I don't think anyone else is doing, as far as we know, making names immediately on site. No coming back and picking it up later. This is Jake. Jake is one of the owners. He handles the event side of the business. He's sort of the event director.
Yeah, so I'm in charge of getting all of this side of it going, getting it out on site, the on-site execution, how we present ourselves, and then the logistical, like, back room, back end, and financial breakdown of everything.
You're the guy worrying about, like I see over there, generators and fuel tanks. Yes. That's something that's not probably normal for most companies printing T-shirts.
Equipment, vehicles, everything from that side of it, as well as like the blank inventory, the logo sets themselves, all of our on-site displays, staffing, scheduling.
Jake has worked really hard to also set up software on the back end for us to keep track of all the logistics, which is really, you know, we're an apparel company, but there's a lot of unique things about what we do that are not apparel related that we've had to build from the ground up.
Yeah. All of those little things that, you know, you might not necessarily think about with having to actually go out and do your process of your business on site. Yeah,
no, there's a lot that goes into it that you know, even I've been doing this now, Max and I have been doing this with Merv, the other partner, for going on 14 years. And there's a lot that when I started with Merv, it was just counting T-shirts, burning screens, and then you get into the level that we're at, you know, just the size of the business now. And there's a ton of small, minute details, all the way up to ginormous problems that need to be solved at a moment's notice.
Yeah, all of a sudden you have that moment where you go, oh, crap, we forgot this, or we're out of this, or this just broke.
Yep. Yeah, that's, and that's call. My call. Usually he's gets
I've
that call.
I've got the 24/7 phone.
And you see around here, we got a few people counting. So after big sales and occasionally a few times a year, we have to do our inventory counts. And that's what's happening right now because we've got a little bit of a lull.
Waiting for the weather to more routinely get like it is today, beautiful and sunny.
Exactly. Well, yeah, when we can open things up and just do our counts and yeah. So now we're entering our production side. We've got heat presses and screen printing. When we go on-site to sporting events, we bring screen-printed transfers. They're screen-printed right here in our shop. And then we bring heat presses to the actual event, and we apply the logos with the heat presses. Here in the shop, we've got some fancier versions of those heat presses, but it's basically the same process.
How does the equipment vary from when you're here and probably getting to use more what you want to, mm-hmm. to when you're out in the field? And I'm guessing you're thinking, okay, we need stuff that's light, packable, maybe doesn't mind a little bit of dirt here and there if you're at an outdoor event, like we were just talking about all those sporting events.
Yeah. In the shop here, we focus on orders for businesses and some pre-orders for tournaments and things, and we can control all the variables. That's the great thing about doing stuff in our shop. But we're actually used to working in really adverse situations in some cases rain, and you know, we've done mud fest, and we've worked in the snow, basically anything that you can imagine. When we're going on site, we'll bring heat presses that, you know, I don't want to say they're light, they're lighter than these ones here. They're things that can be moved, but it's still you know, a big job moving that stuff around. So the equipment is basically the same, just maybe a more portable, rugged version of it. So we have a whole screen printing line with two setups. The really unique thing about Hot Tees is that we always print onto paper first, rather than using a carousel press and printing directly onto shirt. And that's because of our business going to sporting events. So we've chosen to lean into that process and really get great at that process and do it in a way that I think few companies can.
So for those who haven't ever seen, you know, the process of screen printing, just a quick breakdown, like what am I sitting here, you know, watching this gentleman doing?
We print out a transparency for the art. We print one out for each color in the design. That gets burned onto a screen. Essentially what's happening there is, We take a mesh screen, we coat it in emulsion, which is a light-sensitive coating. We stick a transparency on that and put it in a light box. All the parts that are exposed to light harden, and all the parts that are covered by the transparency stay water-soluble and can be washed off. Then we have a big pressure washer and wash bay that we can wash things out with. That's just the prep. That gets it out here to our production floor, where then you can see Aaron here is making one of our event logos, and he'll stick the screen on the press, clamp it in, tape it off the edges to make sure it's not messy. He'll go find his ink, which may have to be mixed from scratch, and he'll use a spatula to apply that to the screen. Then he takes a squeegee, he'll flood the screen. That's essentially putting ink over the whole screen, pulling that squeegee over it. Then he'll do a push stroke, which pushes it through the mesh onto the paper. At that point, you've got your design. It goes through a conveyor here. We've got these big conveyors that are essentially giant heaters, and that does a curing process. And when it comes out the other side, it's essentially like a plastic. You can touch it, it's very durable. That's what we take on site to sporting events. If there's multiple colors, you'd collect all those transfers together, bring them back to the beginning, line that whole thing up again with another screen, new color, and do each one of them over and send it through that conveyor again, collect them all at the end. On this side, you can see all of the inks all lined up by color. We match to Pantones, and the interesting thing really about the ink for us is because we're so specialized in doing this heat transfer process, it's not a real common process to take things on site like this. So we've actually sourced our own ink that they've custom mixed for us that we don't believe anyone else is using. It's sort of a base that we mix our color into. And that allows us to do some things that that keep the quality extremely high while we're on site.
We're going to take a break. I'm Zach Ziegler, and you're listening to Oregon Rainmakers from KLCC.
I'm Barbara Dellenbach, host of KLCC's Oregon Grapevine. Dr. Jeff Sharman is an oncology physician whose field combines multiple treatment options, cutting-edge research, and great compassion.
Meeting somebody who is scared, frightened, terrified, whatever the word is, and you are almost automatically entrusted with helping that patient, it is the greatest privilege you could imagine.
Leading insights in cancer treatment on the latest Oregon Grapevine at klcc.org.
We're back. I'm Zach Ziegler, and this is Oregon Rainmakers. My conversation with Hot Tea's Max Vanderweist continues. By the way, we'll talk a bit about the previous tenant in Hot Tea's warehouse. It was occupied by Zadie Kicks, a designer sneaker reseller that offered pre-sales on certain shoes. Well, its inability to come up with those shoes that it already pre-sold eventually turned into a federal fraud case, with the owner accepting a plea deal.
We've got a carousel press here, which is sort of the traditional screen printing setup.
I was going to say, this is what I think of when I think of screen printing, you know, what I've seen in TV and movies, this kind of setup.
Yeah. Now we're in our cutting and pressing area. Danica is doing some pressing here today for Monroe Middle School's track and field. We're getting prepped for the track and field seasons right now. That's a huge season for us, so now we're doing the team orders, and very soon we'll be doing all the events in the next couple weeks.
You're getting the team orders, and like you said, yeah, there's going to be the usual invitationals or whatever that I'm guessing you all would probably set up at an event like that.
Oh yeah, we'll do a ton of the track and field stuff coming up. Between the orders and going on site to the events, that kind of fills out our year. The event part of the business, is, as you can imagine, is very seasonal. So we have a lot of ups and downs with that, and our focus lately has really been on trying to smooth out our year, and that means filling in with orders during the times when schools are not operational, or doing team orders to prep for those sports that are coming up. We could walk into the dark room. I'm not sure if it's worth it.
Is that something you wouldn't necessarily think about? You know, with you'd think about something like this being, this is where I learned to develop film in college.
That's exactly what this looks like, is a photographic darkroom, and it's essentially what it is. It's got red lights in here to keep everything safe for the emulsion that's light sensitive. We built this separate room for our washout bay. It's got a filter underneath. It's got a dip tank to the side of it. This room is where we would wash out the stencil on the screen, essentially. And it's also where we would reclaim a screen, which is when, after we're done with it, bring it back in here. We put it in a dip tank. We put it into our wash bay. And we can wash off all that emulsion and do the whole process over again.
Yeah, I was not expecting to see, you know, walk in and see something that's akin to, what you would normally see for developing film photography, but it makes sense that is something you'd need with that heat treating process.
Yeah, I think this is the reason that a lot of people are moving to digital prints is because it's a pretty labor intensive process. I think people are often really surprised how much goes into screen printing. There's a lot of setup, there's a lot of equipment, and there's specialty rooms you have to have, you know, that you're keeping everything either, you know, wetness controlled or light controlled and temperature controlled as well in here.
I'm guessing though that digital equipment probably not the most portable.
Yeah, I think some people could do it, but it tends to be a little slow when you're in the moment of doing it. And the quality for us just isn't as good. While everyone is switching to digital prints, we're really trying to hold on to screen printed quality and stick with just the tried and true method of printing that we know will last for ages and not just jump on board with the new thing. And now we're walking into our offices. We've got Alexei here who does graphic design. John does sales and customer service. And then Jake and myself have offices here to work out of.
Cool. Yeah. Well, we can head on in. So I think one thing that's kind of interesting to ask you about, this space has a rather unique history to it. How did you come to be in a space where this was the scene of a federal crime?
Yeah, you know, it was a surprise to us, actually. When we were looking for spaces to move, I should start by saying we were in Harrisburg previously for the first 15 years of this business. In a combine shed, little red combine shed, that was one of our partners, Mervin's family's, his dad's combine shed that he ran his farming business out of, that Merv ended up moving his business into. You know, we kind of outgrew that space and we're looking to be more connected with the community that we all lived in. So we moved here. When we moved here, we found this great place with a really great location. And quickly, after moving in, heard that Zadea Kix had previously been in this location. So there's kind of a sordid history here. It was a surprise to us, but it's a fun story for us at this point. And it's really funny to think just how different our businesses must be. As you saw, there's a lot happening here, a lot of production, a lot of people moving in and out of this place. I've heard stories from our landlord who says, yeah, he would show up in his Maserati occasionally, and he just, yeah, didn't know what was going on exactly in this place. And then at some point, I guess the feds came in and took him to jail, and the landlord was renting this building out before us to the FBI as they sold off all of his inventory.
Wow, so some folks might have gotten their hands on, designer sneakers via Uncle Sam.
Yeah, we're still checking the walls for some leftovers.
So when you got it, I mean, was there anything that when you look back at it, you're like, oh, hey, like, I remember one time looking at a house that had been raided. There were holes in the walls. It was obvious that the windows had been broken in, not out. Was there anything that when you looked at it after learning that history, you went, oh, that explains that?
You know, we've been looking around to see what relics we could find here. Recently, we noticed something that I believe is from those days, which is the steps that go out to Roosevelt Street here at our entrance. Say, step into your truth, which feels a little bit ironic at this point.
Yeah, really. I mean, I guess it's your truth, not the truth. Yeah. You know? How did you learn about that was what was here?
Yeah, our landlord just shared it with us. I mean, for him, it must have been a big deal, but, you know, he just casually mentioned it to us. And then again, with all the stories that have been coming about him getting charged, just became more aware that, wow, this was a really big story that basically everyone has heard at this point.
Do you use that as like a landmark locator for folks or anything? Do you say like, oh yeah, it's the old Zadie Kicks building, or did it not quite have that, you know?
We don't want to tie ourselves too much to his legacy. This was one of his warehouses. I don't think people were coming here very often. I don't know exactly what his branding was like on the outside. My guess is he was trying to keep people out of here so that they didn't know the truth of what was going on.
You know, the last thing I always like to ask people is, what is there that people don't necessarily think about with this business? What's the unexpected side of printing t-shirts, be it in the factory or on the go?
I think it's that how much goes into it ahead of time. You know, it's really easy to think that you just have this idea of what you want for your team shirt, and at the end of the day, it just gets made just like that. You see us on site, you know, we're pressing it in 7 seconds, your shirt's done. However, all the work that got done before that, from design to printing transparencies, darkroom, on press, even reclaiming screens, there's just an incredible amount of work that is happening behind the scenes. Yeah, that and the logistics. As I mentioned earlier, you know, Jake's been great about collecting the logistics on the events. We've had to build our own custom software utilizing Monday.com, and we've invested very heavily into all kinds of software. It's kind of shocking just how much software is required for something that's such a manual process.
Yeah, with all that hand labor going on out there and people actually making shirts and moving stuff around, it's like, well, yeah, but there's still all that data in the background.
Yeah, exactly. Tons of data, tons of work happening behind the scenes. At this point in our career, our business, there's about 15 employees that are required to run this. We've got booking agents that are the face of the company, as well as salespeople, but then so many people behind the scenes that keep this whole thing running.
Well, great. Thanks for inviting me out here.
Yeah, thanks for coming out here.
That was Max Vanderweist, the operations director at Hot Teas in Eugene. This has been Oregon Rainmakers from KLCC. I'm Zach Ziegler. Thanks for listening.